Scott, years ago, Wilhelm Reich talked about Oregon. You talk about Oregon as well. What is this?
It's the chemical ether. It is the life force. You know, it is what the Indians would interact with when they did their rain dance. And the more time I spend in this field and researching and honestly, George, just observing, and then once you understand the properties of the Oregon, that it has a curl. It's negatively entropic, which means there can be a void, but it then begins to circulate or spiral around that void. This is what we see as behavior in the clouds, in particular the cumulus and cumulonimbus clouds. And in the beginning, I was thinking, well, this was a function of the waves as they sheared against each other. But the waves are there, but there is this inherent curl that is within the ether, within the Oregon. It can be accumulated, and I think that's one of the reasons why when we're watching the chemtrails, you know, work the sky, there are often planes stacked. They create a channel. There'll be a top plane with a short trail, a bottom plane with either a long trail or no trail. And I think these planes are capable, if you go to etheric weatherengineering.com, one of James Trevor Constable's buddies' sites, where they talk about very, very simple technology used to stimulate the ether, to stimulate the Oregon. And James Trevor Constable shared this knowledge with every single government agency, he said, in the 70s. So he gave them the playbook. And then, I'm sorry, that was probably not the wisest thing to do, you know, but yeah. Nevertheless, it happened. And so it's as simple as a tube that creates an ionization field out ahead of the aircraft. And I think that explains why these chemtrail planes fly at nearly half the speed or slightly more than half the speed that the commercial planes fly. It's because they've got a certain heading. They know which way the ether is flowing around the planet. They intercept it. They accumulate it. They dam it up. The thunderstorms, the clouds, the moisture, all attracted to that action. And voila, you know, you haven't even had to fire HARP. You haven't had to pulse a scalar wave. You don't have to go to the directed energy route. It's a simple accumulation of what is already there. You create a dam, and the energy just builds and builds and builds. And so you can hold a thunderstorm nearly stationary for hours or days. It's up to you. You know, so all of the tools have been given to mankind, and they've been discovered by these open-minded, exploring scientists over the years. But we have this power structure on this planet, God help us, you know, that intercepts all of these wonderful and amazing understandings and realizations that would change the paradigm that we live in. And that's really the problem, is that humanity needs to be given back to itself. You know, we need our sovereignty back. And I think so many of our world problems would just dissolve once that happens. You know, then we can get back to building sustainable housing and proper usage of energy, and drilling would end. And, you know, but something else would come in and take its place. Other jobs would be created. Other opportunities would be made manifest.
Scott, so
go ahead.
Well, it seems to me, though, that these weather patterns are stronger and more intense than ever. The tornadoes are bigger. The hurricanes are stronger.
Yeah.
The earthquakes are bigger. I mean, it just seems like things have magnified. Is that just a perception, or is it real?
I think there's a little bit of both. There's a lot of reporting that we have now via the internet, but at the same time, the planet, the climate is changing. It is changing. And whether that is directed, you know, that is wholly a function of man's technology, or that is, you know, the planet, the life force, the Gaia, you know, saying, whoa, guys, you know, I've given you free rein for a long time, and I'm going to start, you know, sending some messages your way. You know, and whether we're attentive to those, you know, it has yet to be determined, but I think it's a combination. I think the planet is absolutely changing. You know, we've got some kind of event coming in the next couple of years. And I think the planet has been very patient with mankind. You know, she's given us an invitation to go through an ascension process with her, and we can either work with her or against her. She's going regardless. And if we don't get our ducks in a row, we're going to be swimming. We're going to be swimming.
And when you say an event in the next few years, what kind of an event?
I think you've had no shortage of guests that have talked about something with 2012. And
right.
My feeling is that it ends up being something solar. You know, and it has been through time. It only makes sense that the sun would have a heartbeat, that there's some kind of a rhythm. And when these things happen and history is littered with quote-unquote disaster events, you know, and there isn't, prophecy isn't given without a reason. It isn't given without something being seen. Now, granted, prophecy originates from a specific place in the time stream, and it looks appropriate once it's given. It doesn't mean it is always going to play out as said. However, something is going to come. Something's going to happen, and humanity needs to be in a different place consciously. You know, within ourselves and within our relationship to the earth and within our relationship to each other, you know, prior to this event coming. And I think the powers that be are doing everything they can to keep us in a victimhood stance so that we're not available and present to participate in this coming event, this awakening.
The sun activity slowly starting to pick up again. We've been lucky, Scott. We've dodged X flares.
Mm.
It's only a matter of time. You know that.
Indeed.
When we get hit direct, what happens?
It feels like that, doesn't it? It truly is just a matter of time. And it's interesting because climate is inexorably linked to the sun. You know, and we'd like to say it's greenhouse gases, it's CO2. Ah, come on. That is such a distraction. That is such a distraction. You know, the sun is the power supply. It is the source in the solar system. It always has been. And so our relationship to the sun is exceedingly important, and science is now being given the tools, the spacecraft, to understand more so our relationship with the sun and how there's this precious interlinkage. So many of these ancient religions had the sun at their center. You know, there was sun worship. There are massive temple complexes built all around the sun. Why? You know, why? Why was it so important? If it's not important today, and it was then, what are we missing? What knowledge has been kept from us? You know, what secrets, you know, have been kept from humanity so we don't understand our relationship to the rest of the solar system? And I look forward to that knowledge coming out, because there will be a last sunset. That will happen. And prior to a new sunrise and a big change in humanity's relationship